Hey friends, over 60% of you are listening to me right now on an Apple product. iPhone, iPad, iTunes. I need your help. The truth is, Apple will make this podcast more discoverable to new listeners the more reviews it has. So I'm here asking you to take a moment and leave a review. If you've gained any value from this podcast, the greatest thing you can do for it, besides spreading the word and telling friends, is leaving a review. It's real simple. If you're on your phone, head over to my podcast page within the Apple Podcast app and leave a review. Or if you're on a computer, you can head over to my podcast page within the iTunes app. That's it. That's all I ask. And if you have other podcasts that you love, do them a favor and do the same for them. It'll make their day. Now let's get this podcast started already.
Welcome to Virginia.
Oh, thanks, man. Glad to be here.
What do you have anything that sticks out in your mind about Virginia that comes to mind when you're here?
Virginia. Well, I know, like I was telling you earlier, I know my buddy, one of my good friends, works in D.C.
Right.
I don't know if that's necessarily in Virginia.
Yeah.
But,
close enough.
But you know, he's one of my best friends from hell. I met him when I was a senior in high school, and We had a band, and we're looking for a singer, and he came in, and he became our singer, and we've been good friends ever since, brothers, and kept in touch over the years, and
yeah,
moving and traveling and everything. So I know he lives here and works here. So that's the main thing, I guess, but I don't guess that's particularly about Virginia.
Right.
One thing I do remember about Virginia is back in the day traveling through Virginia. I know there's some beautiful mountains out here and everything. And
yeah.
So I know that there's a lot of natural beauty out here, which I like.
Yeah, you know? Nothing wrong with that,
yeah,
being on
totally,
the road.
Totally, man.
I'll tell you my first impression of seeing you. It would have been, let's see, what are we at, 2018. So I saw you with John Party in October of 2014. I remember this stuff very specifically. I know you're traveling city to city, and they kind of go one to the next. But for me, this was my first time ever seeing John, and that was somebody literally said, "I have free tickets. Do you want to go?" And I said, "Yeah." I'd never heard John at that point, and I get to the show. It's at a restaurant and bar. This was a Toby Keith's Bar and Grill in Woodbridge, Virginia, and which is kind of an interesting spot, right? Because you go into you think of a B Dubs or something like that. It looks very similar. Bar in the middle.
Yeah.
There's this big ass stage.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are on there, and I want to say you guys played for at least 2 hours because there wasn't really any opening act. Maybe there was a cover band or something, but
back in those days, we probably did, man. I mean, that
yeah.
was 2014. Wow, that was a long time ago. But and I don't remember that particular
sure,
one.
Sure.
But for a while there, we were doing the Toby Keith's circuits.
Oh, see, there was many of them. You played.
Oh
many
yeah,
of them.
I mean, you know, they had one in every damn town or wherever, you know.
Yeah.
And they were, for the most part, pretty horrible. But, I mean, we had some fun times in a few of them, you know.
Yeah.
And there were certain ones where they'd treat us nice. And, you know, oh, here's a VIP room. You guys need drinks? Here you go, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, here's some drinks.
And then some of them were just like, we don't give a shit who you are. here's your standard issue, you know, 12-pack of beer.
Right.
You know, and, you know, here's some chips and salsa, you know.
Yeah.
Good luck, you know. So it was, you know, it was kind of a toss-up with those guys. But we kind of did do that circuit for a little while. And, I
yeah.
mean, thank God those days are over, you know. We got moved on to bigger and better things, you
sure.
know. But it's all part of the process and, you know, all part of the memories that you, you know, make along the way, I guess.
Yeah, one other small thing I'll share before we really get going is there was a fair you guys played. This would have been about a half a year later
uh-huh.
down in Abingdon, about 4 hours from where we're at, and it was my bachelor party weekend.
Oh, nice.
And you guys are playing just this, I want to say it was a state fair or just some big fair down there. It was just you guys.
Yeah.
And we drove 5 hours. That was kind of the norm to go see a John Party show for me because I'm a huge fan, so we'd
nice.
Go 5-6 hours, whatever it took.
Okay.
Went down to Myrtle Beach once, but there was this fair I remember, and I won a meet and greet with John. It was, you know, back in the days when you guys were doing it on Twitter. It's like, hey, you know, retweet this for a chance to win a meet and greet.
Yeah.
And so I won, and I had 4 people with me, not 2, and I just kindly DM'd. I said, is there any possible way that we could get 2 more? Because I had my father-in-law, I had my best friend, and I had my cousin. And your team, you guys obliged. It was very nice of you. And so my father-in-law is like, well, man, hell, I'm going to take him a big-ass watermelon and tell him it comes from Knoll's Produce up here in Virginia and all that. He's old school. He likes to, you know, where it comes from and all that. So I'm like, man, they're not going to let you bring this big-ass watermelon to the concert, you know. He's like, hell, they won't. I'm going to take it in there with me. And he hands this thing, and the look on John's face was absolutely priceless when he had this watermelon.
I can imagine. I don't recall him bringing a watermelon on the bus at any point. But
probably just tossed a damn thing. Well, like, here, you guys take this. Y'all,
the thing is, it's funny, like, what people will bring you sometimes. Yeah. Like, they, you know, they're just trying to be nice and bring you gifts. And I mean, more often than not, it's John. They bring John something because he's the star. But every now and then, you know, we'll get somebody bringing us some, you know, some items or whatever. Yeah. And
what's the craziest thing you ever got?
Shit, man. You know, I really don't. I'm sure there was something just off the wall. There was this one girl that she made us all. She was from Minnesota, and she made the whole band T-shirts. And there was something else, like, with the gift. It was like, I don't know, some kind of like candy or nut package or some shit. I don't even remember. But she had it all done up and everything, and, you know. And we're like, well, this is really nice, but I'm not going to wear this shirt. You know, it said something like some kind of Minnesota, like saying or some shit. I'm like, I'm not going to wear this. You know, I mean, I appreciate you being a fan and everything. And, you know, it's the gesture. It really is, you know, but sometimes you just get some stuff, like stuff. I remember this one time we were in California somewhere. And we were doing a radio thing at this joint. And this lady brought John this is a loaf of homemade bread I brought to you. Yeah. And the program director, like, afterwards, it's like, I wouldn't eat that if I was you.
You don't know if it's got, like, PCP in it or something.
It's like, she brings it to all the artists, and it's like, I've seen where she lives. Don't eat that, you know. So, I mean, you just never know. And most of the time, I guarantee it's probably harmless, but it's just kind of like, you know, still, you're just kind of like, what the hell am I going to do with this, you know?
Yeah.
You know, a watermelon, it's like, that's a very sweet gesture. But it's like, man, where are we going to cut this thing up?
Yeah.
You know, we got this tiny little counter on the bus, you know. It's like, we don't have anywhere to. So I don't know what happened to the watermelon, to be honest with you.
Slice a hole in there and pour some Jack in there or something.
I mean, you know, hell, back in the day when we were probably still having to go to the liquor store and buy our own liquor, that might have been what we did with it, you know.
Sure, who knows?
That might be why I don't remember.
Yeah, there you go. Well played. So you were born and raised in Texas.
Well, I was born in Houston, Texas.
Born in Houston, Texas, okay.
My family moved me out to Tennessee, about an hour outside northwest of Nashville.
Okay.
I was probably 8 or 9, 10 years old, somewhere in there, around the third grade.
Yep.
And so I grew up way out in the sticks.
Way out in the sticks.
Yeah, like... I mean, it's not even a town, you know. It's one of those places, like, well, if you blink, you drive right past it. That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
But Texas is still my home and my heart as well. I claim Texas and Tennessee as my home because I was born in Texas. I have a lot of family there and friends there. You know, all my favorite sports teams are from Texas. But I grew up in Tennessee, and Tennessee's a beautiful place as well. And I have family and friends there, and you know it's my home. It's my home too.
Yeah, you love them equally.
Mm-hmm.
You started playing guitar really young. I read 9 years old. Is that right? Around 9?
Yeah, it was about probably 8 or 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you just get, like, some acoustic? You started on acoustic, or?
Yeah, my mom had an acoustic guitar that my dad had bought her for, I think it was a wedding present or something like that, and she always used to. She would play it for me and my sister. That was our entertainment. There was no internet or iPads or cable TV, you know, when I was a kid growing up in the sticks of Tennessee. It was, we had 3 channels, if we were lucky.
Yep.
And, you know, so my mom stayed home with me and my sister, had to entertain us somehow. So she'd break out the guitar and start playing. And, you know, we're kids. We don't know any better, you know. We don't have the distractions that kids have these days.
Oh, my God, yeah. Are you kidding me?
So, you know, we loved it. And she, you know, she'd sit on the edge of the bed, and we'd fucking bounce on the bed and dance around, and she'd play us kids' songs or La Bamba. We love La Bamba. She'd play fucking La Bamba for us, and we'd go nuts. But
where the music really started, through your mother.
Yeah, I remember her. You know, when I got old enough to, you know, to understand, you know, the guitar. I love this, you know, and that's, you know, where it came from. And that same guitar is what I started learning on, you know.
Yeah. When you really started playing, like, what was the first song you ever learned? Like, I remember for me, I started in probably 95, and the first song I ever learned was Come As You Are, Nirvana.
Okay.
What was the first thing you ever learned on guitar?
Well, I must be a lot older than you then, because I think it was, Jesus.
I'm 36, for the record.
Okay, well, I'm older than that. I'm not going to say how old, but...
you don't look that old.
Definitely a little older than that.
All right.
I want to say, like, when I was playing the acoustic guitar, it was all, like, lessons and learning notes, and I was like, this sucks, you know? And then my dad was finally like, we're going to buy you this cheap-ass electric guitar, you know? And I was like, all right, you know? Yeah. And so I took it into my guitar lesson one day, and, you know, I guess my guitar teacher's like, well, all right, we'll do something other than your normal, you know, learning notes and chords and... So one of the songs, I remember two songs distinctly that he taught me.
All right.
One was Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
And the other was Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne. And, I played both those songs probably 10 million times in my life. But
right.
At that point, it was so cool to be like, I know this lick. This is badass, you know. So as a kid, it's definitely more exciting than... opening up your Mel Bay music book and like, okay, play these notes.
Kumbaya.
Let's learn to read music. That's sure. Real fun, kids. Yeah, yeah, you know, I mean, no, it's not. It sucks.
Yeah, self-taught I always thought was better. I mean, you know, throw a tablature book at me, show me kind of direction, but I always felt like listening and trying to, okay, is it this note, is it that note? And I always felt that worked better, personally.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with that because if you can do that, then you probably have a tendency towards music anyway.
Yeah.
But I definitely recommend if you do, you know, at least start learning how to read music or,
sure.
You know, start learning the fundamentals, because that's only going to help you in the long run, you know. Now, that being said, you know, if your kid wants to take guitar lessons or piano lessons or whatever lessons, you know, don't send them to a teacher that's going to be strict, you know.
Yeah.
We must learn these notes and these chords today, and here's your lesson, go home and practice and blah, blah, blah. Do that, but then make it fun. Like, all right, you're going to learn this, but, you know, let's learn this Nirvana song too. And then, you know, as a kid can start relating, like, how what he's learning fundamentally actually relates to what he's learning for fun, you know.
Sure.
And that's what you need to do with kids a lot of time, you know, especially these days because their damn attention spans are so short, you know.
You ain't kidding.
I mean, you got to give them something to focus on a little bit, you know, so let them have some fun. That's what music's about anyway. It's about having fun, you know. Nobody got into, you know, playing music because they thought it's like, well, this can be my career one day and I can get good health insurance and all this stuff. Fuck no. They're like, I want girls.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to get laid.
I want to be like Bon Jovi. Look at that guy on the video.
Yeah.
You know, he looks, you know, he's got chicks all around. They're drinking. They're having a good time. You know, that's fun. You know? Yeah. So that's kind of my take on that situation. Make it fun for
Definitely.
The kids. Make it feel like if I'm going to learn this, I want to learn, you know, I want to learn the songs that I see those guys singing that look so badass, you know. I want to learn that stuff along with learn the fundamentals, and if you do that, you know, you'll just be a better musician all around, really.
Well, I love that you said that, Terry, just because I talk about this a lot when it comes to weight loss, because some of the podcasts are very weight loss centric, and it's a sense of, like, for years I took it as it was a chore, something that I had to do, and when I finally started making it fun, and this is kind of what I talk about on the podcast, people that have been listening for a while, they know this, it's like, man, if you're not doing it for you, if you're not doing it and making it fun and not looking at it as like something you have to do, as like a chore, I mean, you're never going to get anywhere.
Right.
And, you know, I've seen that for years, but I think that that's great that you said that, because I tell people all the time that you have to take that approach in anything you do in life. you know?
Yeah.
If you want to be on social media, if you want to be in a band, if you want to do weight loss, whatever you want to do, you got to do what you love to do, what you want to do, and you got to find ways to make it fun, or else you're just going to feel like you're attached to it at the hip for the rest of your life, and you don't want to be spinning wheels.
Well, that's very true, and I agree with that 100%, you know, and even when it comes to, you know, even something like, you know, weight loss or physical fitness, whatever, you know, I do my, you know, best to go to the gym. We go every day in the morning, and, you know, and it's more of a drag than it is anything, because I do it while I'm out here, because one, it's like, well, shit, there's really not much else to do. I'll go to the gym. And two, it's like, well, you know, I ate fucking 19 chicken wings last night while I was all hammered on beer.
Yep.
So I'm super bloated, and it's like, I need to go sweat this out, you know? And that's normally the case, you know?
Sure.
But, you know, it's like there are times when you have to be like, all right, well, I need to go jog 4 miles. Let's go down the Greenway. It's a beautiful day. Yep. You know, let's go jog down by the river. There'd probably be some people out, some hot girls walking their dogs or something. You know, that'd be some nice scenery, whatever.
Definitely.
Or,
a little motivation, you know, to go a little harder.
Whatever, you know. I'm sure my fiance will listen to this and yell at me later.
Mine too.
But she knows she knows she's the hottest one with the coolest dog out there, so it's okay.
Exactly, exactly.
But you know, it's like you have to do like that type of thing, you know, and like we recently, John has a trailer out on his bus that we turn into like a little kind of like mini gym.
Yeah.
And you know, has a couple TRX straps and some, you know, adjustable barbells and a few other things, and that's kind of fun to do that and like actually have a little camaraderie with the guys in the band, and you know, you're working out together and you're not just at the gym with everybody else on the treadmill, you know, it's just it's like kind of like just you guys, and you're like, you know, you're kind of challenging each other to work out, and that's nice, because I feel like you like go harder, because it's more, you know, it's a less crowded setting, you know, and it's right there, and it's like, all right, let's do it, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to, I mean, you have to mix it up, you know. Sometimes you're like, of course you're like, okay, I drank a whole bottle of bourbon last night. I gotta go sweat this hangover out. This is gonna suck, you know. But sometimes you're like, man, I feel great. Let's just get in a great workout and, you know, and you know, just really kind of stay on each other to, you know, to work out hard and feel good today, you know, and all that stuff, you know.
And more often than not, by the time you're done, you feel pretty good. I mean, I know, God, I could have the shittiest of days, go to the gym for an hour, and I feel amazing afterwards. Feel like I could do anything.
Well, that's the good thing about working out is, like, every time, you know, when we are hungover, you know, and I don't want to go for a run because I know it's going to suck, I do it anyway because I know if I go for a run, you know, even if it's half an hour, I always try to do 45 minutes. But even if I get out just for 20 minutes, half an hour, I know it's going to make me feel better. It's going to boost my metabolism. It's going to get some of the toxins out of me.
Yeah.
So it's like you almost have to make yourself do it, you know. But it does work. It does, in the end, if you just do it, if you make yourself do it, you do end up feeling better. You know?
And once you, going back to when you were a kid and you were starting to play guitar, did you know even at that earlier in age, or what age did you come to when you're like, man, I really want to do this, you know, professionally?
Well, honestly, when I started, you know, I really hated it when I started because I did have one of those teachers that was like wanting me to do the fundamentals and everything. And so I tried to quit, but my dad's like, no, let's get you a different teacher. So he took me down to the other music store, the long-haired guy, you know, with the Van Halen guitar. You know, I started taking lessons from him. And at the time, you know, I was big into baseball. I loved baseball.
Nice.
I loved playing baseball, and I wanted to be a pro baseball player. Because I loved playing. And so that was kind of my thing, you know, right up until I got to be about 14. And this guy started really teaching me the rock and roll licks and just like all the Eddie Van Halen and Steve Vai licks on guitar. And I really started doing that and like was really getting into it and like starting to get good.
Yeah.
And, you know, had a band, and you know, that I was starting going into high school. And probably about the time I was 14 years old, I was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Right here. This is it. Everything
else. Nothing else.
Baseball went away. I was like, Matt, screw that, whatever.
Yeah.
They tried to get me to play football. I did it like a couple tryouts, you know, and, I was like, nah, somebody falls on my hand, you know, screw that. I can't play guitar. No, guitar is everything.
Yeah.
So right around the time I was about 14, 15 years old, I was like, this is it. This is all I want to do, you know.
Right. What kind of guy were you in those high school days? I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people, they look at you now, I think it's fair to say you look very much like a character, right? You know, you've got the handlebar mustache.
I hope so.
people, they love it. I hear people chanting your name in the crowd, and we'll get to that in a moment. But what kind of guy were you in high school? Were you like a popular kind of guy or?
Full-on mullet, man.
Full, nice. Would there be anything else that Terry Lee Palmer would have in high
school? I mean, I'm thinking about Morgan Wallen is got me thinking about going
he's
back
to the mullet.
He's killing
the mullet game, right?
His mullet game is strong, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, man, I was one of those guys that I kind of hung out with everybody because everybody knew who I was because I had a band and it was cool and all that stuff. But
yeah, a lot of friends.
I just, you know, I didn't care, you know. It was never a popularity contest for me, you know. I knew that I wanted to get the hell out of high school and go to college and learn more about music.
Yeah.
So I was just, you know, I had my friends that I would hang out with, and some of them were, you know, on this side of the class. Maybe they were, you know, the guys that were more like the country crowd, and then you had like the football players and stuff that I hung out with them too. You know, it didn't make much of a difference to me. If they're cool with me, cool, let's hang out, you know.
Sure.
If you guys don't want to hang out together, I'll hang out with you separately, whatever. It wasn't a huge deal to me, honestly.
There are a lot of cliques out there. I mean, I don't know what kids go through today. I'm 20 years removed from high school, just about, and I feel really old.
Yeah.
But I back then I could imagine there's probably a lot of those like cliques and groups, the jocks and the musicians and all that.
It was really weird because, man, I mean, honestly, none of us out there in the middle of nowhere had anything to be stuck up about. That is for damn sure, man.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I grew up. We moved out there. My dad moved us into a trailer and. Hell, when, you know, he's like, all right, we're going to upgrade. Hell, we just upgraded to a double wide, man. You know,
right,
I was like,
right.
There was nothing special or highbrow about me, man. I just figured, well, this is what we're doing, you know. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there same way, you know. So
sure.
I was just kind of like, well, we're all kind of the same. We all live in, you know, bumfuck Tennessee. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, maybe your family does have money. Does that really make you any better, you know? You don't live in Nashville, motherfucker. You live in Cunningham.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it, man. So that's kind of was my take on it. But like I said, high school, you know, I had my friends and that usually revolved around music like in some kind of way, you know, with the people I hung out with. Because that was all my focus was
all music, tunnel vision.
I want to get the hell out of high school. I don't care about English composition. I don't give a shit about, you know,
math, history.
Any of that crap. I always made good grades, honestly. I did. I was one of the top of my class.
Nice.
But the only reason I give a shit about that is because, like, well, I wanted to get a scholarship. So I guess my grades better be good, you know, for that to happen. So, I didn't give a crap about any of that stuff, you know. And then when they get to college, they're like, oh, well, you have to take English and you have to take math and geometry. I'm like, shit. Like, how many music classes do I get to take this semester? Oh, two. Fuck. You know, it's like, damn it, you know.
You spend 4 years there, like the traditional 4 years?
No, man, I did about 2 years of college, and I was a classical guitar major, okay?
Wow.
Which meant, like, most of my classes were, you know, music theory, you know, a jazz band, classical guitar, of course, and that was my major.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what my minor was, but...
You're playing a sold-out Jiffy Lube. Who gives a shit?
Yeah,
right?
Really. I don't care. Exactly.
And so you spend 2 years there, and then how does that work? I mean, are you just going to Nashville trying to meet people, network? Like, you know, as far as like taking that next step, like what is the next step?
Well, after that, I mean, I moved back home for a couple years and went to college back in where I grew up, there's a town called Clarksville, Tennessee, mm-hmm. and they have a big college there, and they had a a really, really good guitar professor there, and I studied under him for a while and learned a lot. He was really an excellent guitarist, classical guitarist. And so I did that for a minute, and I had a country band with like my best bud from high school, Mike Robinson. And he was the singer, he was the cowboy hat guy.
Yep.
You know, and I was the lead guitar player, still probably mullet, I'm sure.
Yeah.
but I was doing that at the same time that I'm, you know, still in school, and I'm thinking like, what the hell am I gonna do with a degree in classical guitar?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm asking somebody one day, like, well, you could be a teacher. And I'm like, I hate kids. That's my only option. They're like, well, you know, you could be a classical guitar. I'm like, I do not want to be a teacher
right.
in any kind of capacity. It's like, what is the point of me getting this degree if I can't, you know, I want to be a rock star.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. I don't, you know. So we kept playing in my, you know, in our band, you know, that we had for a while. And after that, I was just kind of like, well, I can't stick around here either because really nothing's going to happen here.
Yeah.
So, you know, a couple of years in, I'm like, guys, I'm moving to Nashville, you know. Yeah. I got to get out of here.
Around what year was that?
98, I think.
Okay.
So it was right, you know, I mean, the 90s country was like in its prime, you know. So I was like, well, that's where everything's happening. I got to move to Nashville and, you know, start playing country music, yeah. you know, so that's what I did.
Is it just as simple as, man, you're just on the side of the damn street playing, or do you have friends there and they kind of show you the ropes, or do you learn to network, you know?
Back in those days, man, I mean, honestly, I went up and I got a job.
Yeah.
You know.
Just a regular
just,
day
yeah,
job.
I got a job and, you know, we rented a house and, you know, what I did is, like, they used to have these, like, jam nights all over town.
Yeah.
And you just go to them with your guitar and, you know, write your name down or whatever, and they call you up and you do a couple songs. And so, I start meeting guys that way, you know. Some guys I still, you know, will do shows with to this day.
Sure.
You know, and that are my friends. But then your name just kind of gets around, and finally somebody's like, hey, man, you know, this guy needs a guitar player. He's got...
Yep.
dates, you know, he's got a van, he's got a trailer, you want to go? And like, okay, so you start doing that. And
that's kind of the thing with country, right? I mean, because I'm still probably 3 or 4 years into country. I'm actually new to this genre, believe it or not. My uncle Bruce showed me country from the time you're talking about, listening to guys like Oak Ridge Boys and Randy Travis, and I left that world for a while and was kind of into, you know, heavy rock, Metallica and Nirvana and all that stuff, and I came back. But what I found so often was you kind of have like the guy, like in this case John Party, then you have the band, and so I guess that's kind of has always been the norm, right? There's the guy and then there's the band with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, John's obviously the star, you know.
Right.
He's the guy whose name is on the songs on the radio and all that stuff. But, you know, the thing about John that I loved about him from the beginning, besides his, you know, his music
sure.
and his voice, I think is very unique. He's always encouraged us to kind of be who we are, our own character, have our own style on stage, you know.
Right.
And a lot of artists, they don't want that.
Right.
Or maybe... not even the artist, but their management, they don't want the band taken away from, you know,
sure.
the artist. And, you know, and some, like, band members, you know, maybe they don't care about that, you know. Maybe they're like, well, I'm just here to make a paycheck. I'm going to play my guitar.
Right.
Stand right here in front of my microphone.
Nameless,
do my thing.
Faceless.
Yeah.
yeah in the background.
But, you know, John, you know, has always been like, you know, I mean, hell, he's the one that told me to keep the Fu Manchu. I think I shaved my beard as a joke. into Fu Manchu one day. He's like, dude, you got to keep that. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, man, it looks awesome. So I just kind of kept it to see how it would go. And now it's kind of like a trademark, you know? And that's, you know, kind of like John's deal, you know? He's like, he wants everybody to be their own kind of character on stage because the way I look at it, that's a big stage, you know?
Yeah.
If somebody's standing right in front of me, you know, maybe John's over here.
Yep.
Are they going to want to see some guy that, just looks normal standing behind a microphone playing his guitar? Or they want to see some crazy long-haired son of a bitch in a feathered cowboy hat and a, you know, a cut-off t-shirt doing windmills or kicks, you know?
Yeah.
I'd rather see that.
Of
you
course,
know? Even
yeah.
though it's a John Party show.
Yeah.
I'd still rather, if John's over here, I'm like, what's this guy doing? Holy crap, man. He's spinning around like an idiot, you yeah. know, flinging guitar picks. Hell yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe somebody's like, you know, and that's why I hope, you know, like I've gained some fans by doing that. You know, like, hey, man, I love John Party, but hell, I like this guy too. You know, let's, you know, let's follow him on Instagram, you know?
Yeah. He's a real character.
Yeah, you know, let's what pictures are he is he gonna post today, you know,
yeah.
or you know, what's on his Facebook, or by the way, at Tamale Palmero.
There you go.
Instagram.
I love Instagram, it's where I hang out.
Yeah.
I remember one of the shows, the Watermelon, we'll call it the Watermelon Show. They called you up, they gave you the name on stage, and maybe you already had it, or it came up that night, like Terry Tiger or Terry the Tiger or some shit?
It's probably Tear Bear.
A Tear Bear.
That might be it.
Okay,
that's
all right.
That's a staple.
That's a staple?
Tear Bear, yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
John's manager actually started calling me that. I don't know why, but just yeah. kind of stuck, you know.
Probably have you in their phone as Tear Bear.
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised.
How do you meet John? Let's get to that. How do you meet him?
Well, the bass player and I, Lee Francis, we had a band, and we would tour around, like, the Southeast. You know, it was kind of like a rock band, do frat parties and, yeah. you know, bars, college towns, all that type of stuff. We did that for a few years, but on the side, we'd always go, we'd do what we call freelancing. If we didn't have a show that weekend or whatever,
right.
Some guy would, you know, call me or Lee and be like, hey, I need a band, you know, to go out and play my songs. And we'd go out and, you know, play his songs for a weekend or whatever for money, you know, just to make extra money. And Lee did a show with John's girlfriend at the time, who was a singer, and John was playing guitar for her. And Lee's like, you know, well, I kind of like this guy. So John's like, well, hey, man, I got a publishing deal. It's like, let's put a band together
right.
and, you know, go out and do some dates. And so Lee was like, hey, man, there's this guy, you know, you need to meet him. Let's do some shows with him, you know. And, you know, I was like, all right, man, whatever, send me his stuff, we'll listen to it. And, you know, I'm thinking, it's going to be the same old thing, you know,
yeah.
like some guy trying to be this
Somebody
other
else.
Artist. And it's, you know, whatever, it's not going to be anything fun or unique. But I got John's songs, I started listening, and, you know, his voice was truly unique. And,
yeah.
you know, his songs were good. And I'm like, this guy's, you know, he's got something here. So we started doing showcases with him. And, I mean, that was the start of it all, you know.
Yeah.
He got a record deal, and, you know, we started playing shows, you know, just started as humbly as that, man, back in the van and trailer. And,
yeah.
you know, everybody making 50 bucks a night, drinking, you know, free beer. And
hell, yeah, I remember those days.
Traveling around, you know, from town to town. And, you know, hell, man, it was awesome. You know,
yeah.
we loved it, and we just get drunk and play, you know, Brooks and Dunn or, you know, George Strait songs all night.
Yeah.
Going some Skynyrd. You know, good old days. But, you know, that's how it all started, man.
And when it comes to, like, the record deals and all that stuff, I mean, are you guys, like, actually recording? Or they have, like, studio musicians? Or how does all that work?
Well, most of the time they do studio guys.
Yeah.
Like, I don't play on any of John's stuff, actually.
Really?
You know?
Okay, that's interesting.
Like, Lee plays on that stuff. I think our steel player is playing a little bit on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, they, you know, there are a few guys in Nashville that pretty much do everybody's stuff,
right.
you know.
Is that like a record label call? They're like, hey, we just got these guys, we want them to play on it? Or how does that work?
Maybe. That might have something to do with it. Producer.
Right.
You know, has his favorites, people he just uses, you
yeah.
know. I mean, I don't care. You know, I enjoy the live aspect of it. I like to play.
That's the fun part anyway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, being in the studio for hours gets kind of boring.
I mean, honestly, I love playing in the studio, too.
Yeah.
You know, if John asked me to play in the studio, I'd be like, hell yeah, dude, I'll do it. Because
yeah.
I like his music, you
yeah.
know. But a lot of the guys who are studio guys are, To be honest, we were actually having a discussion about this the other night. You know, it's like a lot of their work comes from just guys sending them their songs or demos, like, all right, I want you guys to play on this, on my stuff, you know, maybe because you play for John Party or because you played for somebody else. It's
right.
Like, I know who you are, you know, so they send them their songs, and these guys, you know, have home studios, and they track the stuff, and they send it back to them. And, you know, if you want to be a studio guy, that's a lot of your work, but my problem with that is I don't want to play on somebody else's really shitty music.
Yeah.
I just don't want
to. You got to like the guy.
I don't want to do it, you know?
Right.
And to me, like, I don't really have an ambition of being a studio musician, quote unquote, for that reason, you know? Because even though maybe you get to play on some really awesome stuff sometimes,
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe you get to play on a really big record and, you know, it makes, you know, a lot of people get to know you by that. The fact of the matter is you still have to make a living, so you still have to play on the stuff that, you know, some guy from, you know, wherever who thinks he's the next, you know, Sam Hunt or whoever, you know,
right.
Big pop country star. You still have to take that job and you have to play on their music, and you probably are not going to like it that much because it's not going to be anything original. They're going to be trying to emulate somebody else that's already out there, you
yep.
know? And if anybody out there listening is like me, I don't really like a whole lot of the music that's on country radio today. There are a few artists that I do like, but I'm not really a fan of a lot of it.
Who stands out today right now that you really are all about, that you really like?
I mean, I love John's stuff. I think Chris Stapleton is a great artist. I love the Brothers Osborne.
Yeah. You guys did a tour with them.
Yeah, and they're great guys. They really are.
What about Luke Combs? You like his stuff?
I do like Luke.
Yeah, he seems like he's kind of in that same vein of
traditional
country.
He's a little more country, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the guys that are still kind of trying to keep the fiddle and steel guitar in it, you know.
Yeah. Midland, you guys went out with them.
Midland are cool. Those are some cool guys. They're trying to... They definitely have their own style. That's for sure. You know.
Right.
There's a few other artists out there that I really enjoy. Names that maybe you haven't heard, like Ashley McBride.
Oh yeah,
she's
on the rise.
She's great. I love her. The Steel Woods. If you've never ever heard of the Steel Woods,
I have not heard of them.
They're kind of a newer band, and they definitely have more of like a southern rock type feel to it, and
right.
I like a lot of stuff like that kind of has a edgier feel to it,
right?
You know,
so you're not really getting excited about like the Florida Georgia Lines and the Thomas Rhett's of the world and stuff like that.
I mean, you know, honestly, I'm not gonna say that I hate anyone, you know, because those guys are out there doing what they do, and they're
yep.
good at it.
Yeah,
you know, they're the best at it because they're on top of their game, you know.
Yeah.
And I really can't sit here and say, fuck those guys, I hate them, because they're
sure.
more successful than I am, you know?
Yeah.
That's for sure. So they're doing something right, you
yeah.
know? And they have a lot of fans, and, you know, they sell a lot of records, you know? So more power to them, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, I just feel like, I don't mean to cut you off, I just feel like I like a little bit of everything. Like, I hate the fact that we have to break everything down into sub-genres. Like,
yeah.
to me, if it's a good song, it's a good song, right?
Well,
you know, if it's rock, if it's country, no matter what it is, if it speaks to me, I like it.
Well, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about music in general, man, is that it doesn't matter what you like or what you don't like. You're never wrong. Because the thing is I might not like this particular music or this song, but if you do and it speaks to you, then that's what music is supposed to do. Okay, you can't say something is bad or good, you know, maybe in your own head you can judge it as that, but there are a lot of people out there that, you know, it makes them feel good, you know, and if it does, then it can't be wrong, you know, even if you don't like it. So that's the beautiful thing about music is, you know, if you like it, then it is good.
Right.
You know?
I mean, if it speaks to me directly, I mean, let's take just a John Party song, for example, Fightin' the Fools on that B-sides EP. That thing spoke to me, struck me right through the heart, because it was like, here I am, I'm fucking up again, you know, I can't get over my shit, and I felt like that for a long time. I was married once, fucked that up, and I got married again. Luckily, it's going really well now. But I, you know, when you hear a song and it identifies and it sticks with you, that's when you really got something, I think, you know.
Yeah, and that's my whole point, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that song because, you know, it wasn't a mainstream country song.
Sure.
You know, I was on a B-sides record, you know, EP, and you know, if you're a John Party fan, you probably do have that EP, you know.
Yep.
But just like you like that song, somebody else, that might not be their favorite song on the EP.
Sure.
They might not, I don't really care for that song, you know. But it doesn't really matter. It's good because you like it.
Yeah.
You know? And like I said, that is, that's the beauty of music. You know, I might not particularly like this artist or this song, but if you do, who gives a shit what I think, you know?
It's all subjective.
You just enjoy what you enjoy, you know, and I'll enjoy what I enjoy, and, you know, that's all there is to it.
Definitely, definitely. Well, you just put out an EP, the American Buzz EP.
Yep.
I love this thing. It's I was listening to it when I sent you the message on Instagram. I was going down the road to Charleston, South Carolina, road trip, perfect road tripping EP.
Nice. Thank you.
It's good stuff, man.
Thank you very much, man.
How long were you in the works with that?
I started recording right at the end of December, like the 30th or 29th or 30th, literally. And so when did I release that?
So like about a month or so ago?
Yeah, so yeah, that was the beginning of it all right there.
How long had you had all the songs written and stuff like that?
Some of those songs a while. My first single, Turn Me On, Turn Me Down, that came from that and Hanging On.
Yeah.
They both came from a demo session back in, was it 2016?
Okay, so you've had them for a little while.
Yeah. I did a real big 12-song session, so... And I may go back and re-record some of those songs from that session, because there's some pretty cool ones that I enjoy.
Right.
But those songs have been around for a minute, and the song Beer Time has been around for even longer than that.
Yeah.
Hell, I wrote that with John and a friend of ours named Cody Webb.
Right.
And that was probably at least a couple years. You know, that might have been 2014, 20, you know, maybe even earlier than that. So.
Yeah.
That song's been around for a while. Actually, a guy, a Texas artist named Mario Flores, he cut that song, and it was the top five in Texas for a minute. And I just was like, I like this song. You know what? I'll screw it. I'll put it on the EP. It's been around for a while, but, you know, maybe, you know, a lot of people haven't heard it, so we'll throw it out there. It's a fun song, man. Singing about beer. I mean,
who can go wrong with that?
I know, you know, it's simple. It's nothing profound, but, you know, screw it. Sometimes you just need a damn song about beer, and you need to raise up your beer, and, you know,
yeah,
it is beer time. So. But the rest of the songs are probably fairly new.
Yeah.
I'm thinking probably in the last year or so. Actually, it's funny, the song American Buzz, my friend Brett Tyler, who's out this weekend with us, he's a songwriter, and he's writing with John this weekend, and hopefully with me. Maybe we'll even get to write a song. But he, last 4th of July, he texted me, and we were talking through text, and then he's like, oh, what are you going to do, you know, for 4th? I'm like, I'm probably just going to, you know, get hammered and watch some fireworks, you know?
Yep.
Salute the flag. And he's like, well, he's like, what did he say in the text? He's like, yeah, man, go put on a bus for America. And as soon as I read that text, like, that title snapped in my head, and I'm like, that's got to be a song.
Right.
So I wrote the whole song except for the second verse, and I was like, I got to get Brett to help me write this song. He inspired me to write it. I got to give him some credit on this. So I hooked up with him one day in Nashville, and we wrote the second verse together, and so that's how that song came about, and you know, he's out on, like I said, he's out on the road with us this weekend, so it's good to have him around. He's a good dude.
Oh, that's awesome. How do you plan to balance, as far as, you know, Terry Lee Palmer, the artist, with his own stuff, and being the touring musician? Like, how do you find that balance?
Between?
like being the solo guy with the EP and being John Party's guitar player?
Oh. Well, I mean, first and foremost, my main job is John Party's guitar player.
Right.
You know, and I love playing with John. I love playing with the guys in the band. We're all friends. We're all brothers. We have a great time together.
Yeah.
And I want to keep doing that.
Sure.
You know, I really do. And
so if that was all it was for from here on out, you're good with that. You know,
well,
playing until he stops.
I mean, I want to still do my own thing on the side, you know, when I have time.
Right.
I'm planning on doing a few dates this winter.
Yeah.
When we have some time off. Just to get out and, you know, and you know, just do something different, you know, play some of my songs, maybe sell a few more CDs or downloads or whatever.
Yep.
You know, the real end game of this for me, you know, is I have no ambition of being John Party stature.
Right.
You know, as an artist, you know, it's like sometimes you don't realize, you know, as like a fan or somebody looking in from the outside.
Yeah.
You know, you see this guy and he's, you know, hell, he's a superstar now.
Yeah.
And you see him up on stage and he's performing and he's killing it. And, you know, you see his adventures on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. But it's, you know, it's a lot harder than it looks, because basically when you're that guy, your time is, you know, very valuable, because somebody always wants a piece of it.
Of course.
There's always somebody, some, you know, radio station that you have to go and you have to have, you know, do an interview with these guys. There's
some asshole sponsor. With a podcast outside of Starbucks.
you never know.
I mean,
that's
yeah, yeah.
the thing. It's yeah. like, you don't, you know, your private life and your, you know, free time is really becomes a commodity, you
yeah.
know? And John, he seems to do really well at it, and you know, and he's a character, and you know, in his own right, and he, you know, he does great, you know. But as for me, you know, I just I don't know if I'd have the patience for all that,
right.
to be on that level, and you know, and have to deal with it
being
that,
zigzagged
yeah,
everywhere, radio yeah. stations and all that.
And that being said, you know, if one of my songs hit it big and it was awesome, I mean, I would love that.
Yeah.
But I would love it more personally as a songwriter, mm-hmm. than I would as wanting to become, you know, some guy that's gonna, you know, be on the CMT Awards or CMA Awards or something like that. You know, I would just be more flattered that people love my song enough to where it got up to that point. And,
yeah.
And of course, I would want to get out and promote it. You know.
Yeah.
And honestly, if any of my songs got to be as big as John's, there would be somebody there like, hey, Terry, you got to go do this, you know, you got to do that, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's just part of it. You'd have to take it in stride, you know. But for the most part, you know, it's like, I think I value my, you know, my anonymity a little bit more,
sure.
you know, than I do the superstar, you know, fame, you know, and your face plastered everywhere and all that. So that's not like I'm not trying to be on that level. I want to write songs and perform songs for people that kind of really get my style, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not I don't think, like, if you've heard my EP,
yeah,
you know, it's not really a mainstream style. I try to consider it more like southern rock,
right.
you know. But and that's not like a, you know, you don't hear a lot of southern rock on
yeah.
country radio, you know. So that's kind of what I'm kind of going for. But the biggest thing for me is songwriting.
Right.
I put those songs out there because I wrote them and they spoke to me kind of as an entertainer. And I
yeah.
can see myself performing those songs for people. But I also want that to influence other people to be like, hey, we need this type of song. Let's... Terry Lee Palmer, he's a writer. Let's you know, cut one of his songs, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I really want, is I want to get some of my songs out into mainstream country and have some of the bigger artists cut those.
Sure.
And that be like the thing that I, that's the thing that I really want to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I love performing, And yeah, I love playing with John too, but I would love to hear, you know, some bigger artist cutting a song. Maybe I wouldn't cut myself, but something that I wrote and I'm proud of.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, I know this song doesn't suck because I've, you know, put my heart and soul into it, but it's just not for me. Maybe so-and-so will like it, and, you know, maybe I'll hear it on the radio one day.
Sounds more like, it sounds to me, and I could have this wrong, but it sounds more like you almost kind of be a little bit more of like a behind-the-scenes kind of guy.
That's kind of what I like. I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoy being a character on stage.
Right.
I love performing more than anything. I mean,
but is it a character like just that on stage, or are you like introverted off stage, or like what do you really like, you know, outside?
That depends on how many bourbons I've had, man. Honestly, you're going to get, here's the deal. You're going to get two versions of me.
Okay.
One is the version that, you know, cowboy boots, jeans, hat, jewelry, you know, the rock and roll side. Right. That's the side you're going to see on stage. That's the side you're going to see if I'm out, you know, in Nashville or downtown somewhere partying. Yeah. You know, that's going to be me, all rock and rolled up, bourbon in my hand. You know, that's, you got that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the guy that's sitting here right in front of you.
Yep.
Flip flops and cut off shorts, you know, Floribama shirt on, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only two versions of me that you get, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it, you know. I'm either like super laid back leisure guy or full on rock and roll, you know. And I'm totally comfortable with either, to be honest with
you. It's nice to have that balance too, you know.
Yeah.
God, I used to be a guy that was so shy and nervous. I would never be caught dead doing something like this in the sense of recording a podcast in public. This is something that I used to never do. I used to be at my house and be kind of like almost like a homebody, which people that listen to this podcast or follow me on social were like, no, that doesn't sound anything like you. But I'm also not like this character kind of like you have on stage. So I like the balance that you walk there, where you have kind of both.
Well, I think you have to do it to keep your sanity, you know, to be honest with you, because if I couldn't just kick back and do this, you know, it'd drive me crazy, because I look at it like, you know, somebody like John, you know, there's no way he could do this right here, you know. Somebody is going to recognize him.
Absolutely.
Somebody's going to see him, and then as soon as they do, and they're over here getting pictures and autographs, somebody over there is going to see him and be like, oh, who is that, you know?
Yep.
And before you know it, you're going to have a line wrapped around the block here, you know, for some impromptu meet and greet, you know?
Yeah.
And so, therefore...
And he just wants a coffee at Starbucks,
I know.
By the way.
So, if that's the case, you know,
yeah,
then John Party, well, he's got to be all suited and booted, you know? He can't be taking pictures of somebody looking like I do at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's like, if he is going to go out in public, he's probably got to look pretty sharp, you know? Look like a damn country star, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a lot harder for him to do what I'm doing, you know, obviously. But, and that's why I say I don't like really have that ambition to, you know, to be that. Because I like sitting here just having my coffee or beer or whatever. And, you know, looking like this.
Yeah.
You know, and probably 9 out of 10 people, you know, that fucking go by, they're not going to know who the hell I am, you know.
Right.
Every now and then, you know, I mean, obviously we're playing a show tonight, and John has fans here, so they know what his band looks like, you know. Somebody's going to walk by, Terry, you know, what's up, dude? Hey, can I get a picture, you know? I'd be like, hell yeah, you can get a picture.
Yeah.
You know, I don't look rock and rolled up, but yeah, we'll take a picture. It doesn't matter,
right.
You know. But, you know, that's kind of the, that's what's kind of nice about, you know, I guess being in the position I am. I can still look like this and hang out, and I don't have to worry about there being a, you know, a line of people wanting to take pictures with me, for sure.
Sure, sure. Yeah. You've been so gracious with your time. I appreciate it. Just a couple more rapid fire. We'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
You're on tour right now with Luke Bryan, and is this the biggest tour you guys have done so far?
Yes.
I've seen the pictures on your Instagram playing this stadium, that stadium. What's that all? How do you like that?
It's the most incredible thing you can ever experience.
Right.
You know, you think about it. We step out on stage, and we're still, and it's still kind of early when we get out there. You know, what is it, six? I think on those show dates, the stadium dates, we start at like 6:30.
Right.
Because it's us, then Sam Hunt, and then Luke Bryan.
Yep.
But even when we step on, hell, there's still 30,000 people out there, you know? Like, and it's just like playing in front of that many people in that big of a setting is just...
Are you beyond the jitters at this point, or do you still kind of get a little bit of nervous?
No, I never get nervous. Never. I don't ever have stage fright. It's...
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing this so long. It's a rush.
It's another day at the office.
Well, I don't want to say that because okay. I don't want to make it sound like it's no big deal.
Cause right.
It's like when I step out on stage, and on Wrigley Field, you know, that we'll be playing soon, and I see all those people. It's like, hell yeah, I'm ready to rock.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna bring everything I got to you because this is fucking awesome. You know,
hell yeah.
And that's the way I feel when I step out on stage, for those shows. And it's the people in the setting, that's amazing, but it's also the people you're on stage with too.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference because I know that the guys that I step on stage with are awesome. We play awesome music, we're brothers, and that makes it, all the more better.
What's the one song everybody's really singing loud as fuck back to you guys right now? Is it Dirt on My Boots or?
Well, it's always Head Over Boots and Dirt on My Boots.
Yeah.
Always, obviously, those two always get a huge response,
Yeah, I saw you guys in Richmond, and that was around the time Head Over Boots was out, and people were just, I couldn't even hear John at that point. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It's a huge song, man. It's a smash hit.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it, and everybody knows the words, so they're singing along for sure.
Definitely. By the way, I should say this too. I wanted to congratulate you on your new house. I saw on Instagram you just built a house, man.
Thank you. Thank you. It's awesome. It should be finished in about a month and a half here, so very, very anxious to move in. They're still doing some work on it, But
you gonna have a little music area there, a little place to jam out, or?
I have my little office. It's it'll serve as the second, spare bedroom.
Yeah.
But, it's not like we have guests all the time, so I'll have a nice little place for me to set up and, play my guitars or, do any little recordings that I want to do or writing. And
yeah.
So that's going to be nice.
That's something else I was kind of wondering, like when you're on tour like this, playing guitar just in general, do you kind of stay away from it until you actually have to get on stage, or is it like something you want to avoid till you have to play, or do you like playing with it all day long? I mean, could you do that?
Well, usually I will pick up a guitar a couple times during the day because, a lot of times I'm so damn bored and it's just there and I'm like, all right, let's just, or maybe I've got a song I'm working on and I need to, pound out a verse for it or whatever.
Sure.
No, it's not something I avoid. I would never avoid playing guitar.
Right.
Unless I'm just too drunk to play worth a shit, which happens. But, there's one right there on the bus that I brought, and it's just hanging there for anybody to play, A lot of the guys, they'll pick it up and jam on it or whatever, or maybe we'll work on things, or maybe maybe somebody's got a song, they're like, hey, help me out with this, let's write this, and so it's, it's
music,
always there.
Music's kind of always present. I that's pretty what much. I was kind of wondering, because I'm like, man, do you guys just want some quiet time, turn the damn music off, or,
Usually, it's like... I kind of tell you the ritual. We, 10 a.m. we go to the gym. We come back. We have lunch. Bored as shit for about 3 hours.
Right. Podcast at Starbucks.
Yeah. I'm like, when you got a hold of me, I'm like, hell yeah, let's do this. But it's like you have that. During that time, there's probably one of us has got the guitar and we're playing. Or, maybe we turn on the TV for a minute and watch some crappy movie we've watched 10 times, but something to do. You go to sound check, you have dinner. Usually after dinner, it's like, all right, we got 2 hours till we play. Let's start drinking. So, usually we get into the vodka or bourbon, whichever is, our choice of the night. And, put on a nice little buzz. Usually about, half an hour before we go on stage, we're cranking up the music. Somebody's got their phone out and we're trading off songs, getting pumped up for the show, having a cocktail, get on stage, kick country ass.
Yeah. Do you watch a lot of the other acts, or are you guys kind of all busy doing your own thing?
Sometimes, man. It just depends. Yeah. I mean,
Morgan's got a strong show. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I've seen Morgan a couple times, and he's he's got some pretty good songs, man. Yeah. I like him.
And I guess Luke, it goes without saying. I mean, he's a major star.
Well, I mean, he's got a huge thing. Yeah. You know? And if you haven't seen his show on this tour, he's got fireworks and everything.
Holy shit.
not just pyro, but
right.
Fireworks, literally.
Wow. That's...
So yeah, so it's, you know, it's a big production, man. It's awesome being a part of it for sure, you know.
Fantastic. Final thing. So somebody's listening to this podcast right now, they're an aspiring wannabe musician. They wanna play guitar, they wanna play bass, they wanna play drums. What is your advice to somebody that's been at it for 20 plus years now? What's your advice to somebody just starting out?
Fucking do it. Stay at it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if it's truly your passion and you, and you feel that you can do it, I mean, don't let anything stop you, you know.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to get to where I am, you know, and I've done... There's been a lot of ups and downs for me in the music industry. I mean, I got to town. I started out small. I played for another artist back in, you know, the early 2000s and did that whole thing and did the whole tour bus and played, you know, did big gigs and, you know, went overseas and, you know, and then I quit that and I started doing my own thing. And, you know, times were a hell of a lot leaner then, you know. Yeah. I actually went back and I worked construction for a while and I went out and I toured with, you know, my own rock band and did gigs and, you know, sustained myself that way, you know. And then, you know, obviously a few years back, you know, I meet John Party and, you know, we've worked our way to what he is now, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm damn proud to be part of the process of all that, you know, and to have stuck with him, you know, and to put in the time and the work, you know. And that's what it's all about, you know. You can't expect to be anything good if you just, you know, are just like, oh, I want to, you know, I want to be a star right now. No,
yeah.
You're not. You have to work at it. Yeah. I didn't, you know, when John Party first started, and I first started with him, I didn't look like this.
Right.
You know, I look completely different, you know. And if I had that same look today, if I changed it, you'd be like, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
And that's the whole point. I work to be the guy that you see on stage today,
right?
Okay, and you have to find that person, and you have to discover them, and that's the whole point. You can't just go on The Voice, people,
yeah,
and be like, I'm gonna be a star, because you're not.
Yeah,
you have not worked at it. You have no clue what it takes, and the effort and time that it takes to actually be a Luke Bryan.
Yeah,
you know, and I know he's judging you on. Is he on the? He's on The Voice, right?
American Idol.
American Idol. Yeah. Sorry, Luke. I know he's a judge on there, and he might like what you're doing, and he might be like, "Yes, I'm going with you."
Yep.
But the point is, that doesn't mean you're a star. You still have to work at it. You still have to learn how to connect with people on stage and learn all the stuff off the stage as well. And you have to realize that, oh, I'm gonna have to go do radio interviews, and I'm gonna have to go do this or that, and you have to learn how to handle all the stuff that goes with it. It's not just, oh, look at me, I won American Idol and I'm a star. No, you got to work hard at it. And that's the thing, is if you want to do it, then don't stop, but be prepared to work. It's a long, hard journey, but if you get to where we are today, well, shit, it's worth it.
Yeah, I got a saying. I actually put it on a T-shirt. I love it so much. Hard work always wins.
There you go.
I trademarked it. I love that saying.
Awesome.
I wouldn't have lost 100 pounds if I didn't work my ass off. You know
Beautiful.
What I mean?
I'm going to hashtag that later on Instagram if I do a post. Hard
there you
work
go.
Always wins.
I love that. So the floor is yours, Terry. We'll wrap up with this. Tell everybody where they can find you, where to get American Buzz. Tell them where you want them to be.
All right. Terry Lee Palmer, the EP American Buzz out now. You know, iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, you know, all that stuff. Anywhere you can get digital music, it's on all of that. Go download it or stream it, please, as much as you can. Go get it. And, you know, hopefully, Instagram @
yes.
Tamale Palmero.
Yes.
And Terry Lee Palmer on Facebook. I got a Twitter too. I think that's at Tamale Palmer as well. So go on there, follow me, please.
I'll put the links in the description for everybody.
There you go. Follow me on those, and you know I'll try to keep posting interesting stuff for you.
Yes.
If you've ever seen my Instagram, you know everything I post is something stupid, probably to make you laugh. or some badass pic that, you know, some fan took and put up there. So I'll try to keep it interesting for y'all. But go out and get the EP. Keep coming out and seeing John Party and us, the all-nighters, perform. I guarantee you we'll put on a good show for you, and you'll leave with a smile. And also, hopefully this winter, I'll be doing some tour dates when we have time off.
Yes, please come to the D.C. area.
if I can make that happen, I certainly will. I'll keep everybody informed, you know, obviously through social media.
Yep.
And, I guess that's it, man. Come, you know, follow John Party, buy his records.
Yeah.
Follow Terry Lee Palmer, buy his records. And I guess that's it.
Terry, thank you so much for your time, man. I appreciate it. I had a blast.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you having me, man.